That is challenge number one. It's quite easy to flick by, so you'll find Philemon just before the book of Hebrews. So the book of Philemon is just before Hebrews and after Titus within your Bible. So this is part two in the look into this small book of Philemon. And we'll finish it today, that's a promise. We'll finish Philemon today. It's a short personal letter from the Apostle Paul, but although a very short letter, it carries quite a weighty punch with it because the whole topic is about forgiveness. And it's not an easy thing to ask for or to receive in our lives. So we see here, Philemon, it's a message of forgiveness and love versus holding a grudge and having vengeance against somebody. So the Apostle Paul, as we looked at last time, he's writing this letter while he's under house arrest in Rome. The last time we saw, he's also writing to Philemon. We looked at the fact that Philemon was a Christian slave owner. He was quite a wealthy chap. He had a home church in Colossae, and he was a good friend of Paul. And from this letter, we see that Paul, it looks like, he led Philemon to faith as well. So he's got a church in his house, and he's a respected leader there. And the situation that Paul's writing into here is that one of Philemon's slaves, Onesimus, has fled the household, ran away from his master, disobeyed him, and it looks like he stole from him as well. And he ran to Rome with all of his stolen goods, we think, and also to Rome to hide himself away. He didn't want to be under his master anymore. And somehow, while he was in Rome, running away from his master, he comes into contact with the Apostle Paul. And this slave comes to faith. So he comes to faith. So Onesimus has been saved under the sharing of the gospel by Paul. And Philemon has came to faith under sharing the gospel from the Apostle Paul as well. But Paul sees this man Onesimus. He's came to faith. He was a Christian. He was under the authority of his master. But he can't stay with Paul. He has to go back to his household, back and make the situation that he had orchestrated right. He'd made a bad situation and he had to right it once more. So after laying down the groundwork of who Philemon was, Paul was saying, Philemon, you've got a good testimony amongst all the people out here, good testimony of the people in the church, but also out with the church. He lays down all the foundation of how good a Christian character he is. And he's building up to the point where he's having to say, and I've got something to ask you, due to your Christian character and how you know you should behave, I've got something to ask you. And he's building up to that point which we looked at last time. So we're going to start from verse 8 today. And it says, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you to do what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. So we see here, Shea, it's clear from the text that Paul regards Philemon as a sincere, as a trustworthy believer. He knows the character that this man has, and he can be depended on to do the right thing. And Paul's appealing to that nature within him, that good Christian nature, that attitude of doing the right thing. That I know that you're going to do the right thing here, so I'm appealing to you for this slave that's ran away from you. I'm appealing to you for him. And it says, I might be very bold in Christ to command you to do what is fitting. When Paul is making this request to him, he is the Apostle Paul. He holds that position, that authority. But he doesn't say, you must do this. He makes an appeal out of love to the gentleman here. So what we see here is that Paul is wanting these two men, master and slave, but now brother and brother, to be in faith, united together, for forgiveness, for reconciliation to take place between these two men here. Philemon was being encouraged to act in faith and not legal rights, not to punish his slave by the law, but to forgive him and restore him by love. Paul knows here that he knows that love is mightier than the law, and that's what we need to take on board as well. We need to respect people, but we also need to act out of love above all other things as well. And it's for love's sake that Paul is appealing to Philemon and not commanding him to do something. If Paul had to command Philemon to forgive his slave, restore him back, if it was a command, his heart might not be in it. So he might obey in the short term, but over the long term, it's not going to be a good situation because the forgiveness was forced and it wasn't coming from the heart. If we force somebody to do something, then long term, the situation is not going to be good. So Paul's wanting for their bond, for Philemon and Onesimus, to be rooted in Jesus, for their bond together to be rooted in their faith, united together. He wants forgiveness, he wants reconciliation, but he wants it to be true and to come from the heart. And if we think about it, you know, Paul is appealing to Philemon with love. How does the Lord Jesus appeal to us? Does he command us to do things all the time? He's got commands that we need to obey, but it's out of love that we should want to obey them. That the Lord draws people to himself with love and kindness, not with a command and a threat. There are times where a firm, authoritative position has to be taken, where it must be a command. But there's also times like this where it's an appeal out of relationship and an appeal out of love that is the most effective in a situation. We need to be discerning like Paul and know when to give a command and when to make that personal relationship appeal with someone. But who is an authority here? Obviously it's the Apostle Paul. He is the Apostle. He's the one with the weight of that position behind him. Although he's an authority in this point, he is very careful how he uses his authority, which shows a great maturity in his faith as well. He would have been wrong to demand of Philemon in this situation here, because it would be to his gains. He was wanting to keep Onesimus the slave with him because he was now a brother in Christ and he served Paul well. He could have said, Philemon, I'm keeping him, but that would have been a selfish motive and for selfish gain. And he wasn't like that. He was seeing the wider picture and the wider thing that had to take place. So he was careful to use his position and his power for the correct circumstances, for the correct goal and outcome. He had that word, that meekness, he had the power but under control, power and authority but under the correct bridling in his life. And we need to take that on board as well. We see the principle throughout this whole short letter here is the principle of forgiveness when somebody wrongs us. Philemon was wronged by his slave that ran away, by his slave that stole from him. And that's what the whole message of this book is, it's that forgiveness aspect here. What would we be urged to do if the Apostle Paul was standing beside us and somebody had wronged us? Would they say to us, we're justified to punish them and to call them down, or would they say, forgive them, restore them? There's many circumstances in our own individual lives that we could maybe think about where we're thinking, well, yeah, and we should forgive somebody, but the flesh comes in, we've always got a reason we don't want to be restored back to somebody because we feel as if it's our right. We were wronged, so I can hold that wrong against somebody. And by the law, you can, but by the gospel of Jesus and by love, you shouldn't, because it holds us back, as we looked at the last time. So he's saying to Philemon, forgive your runaway slave, restore him, bring him back to your household, and don't punish him. Out of love, do that. And out of love, I'm giving you that appeal. When we're wronged, like Philemon was here, we need to give the hurt, we need to give the anger to God. And to the person, we need to give our forgiveness. Your hurt and your anger goes to God, your forgiveness goes to the person, and everyone benefits in that situation there. Even if that person doesn't ask for forgiveness, we need to give it to them anyway. That's us walking in faith, that's us walking by the Spirit and not walking by our flesh. And that is what will please the Lord in a situation like that. Paul is trusting in the character of Philemon here. And therefore he can urge Philemon out of that kind of relationship. He knows the man. He knows the man and he says, no, I can urge you to do this and I know you will do the right thing. He had confidence in the Christian character of Philemon. But if we flip it round, we've got this man Onesimus. His character wasn't so dependable. He was a runaway slave, probably stole, so we know that his character wasn't the same as Philemon's here. He certainly wasn't a Christian the last time that Philemon had him within his household serving. But now, things have changed. Now, in the request that Paul is making for him, he has become a brother in Christ. They are now bonded together in the unity of Jesus. And it says in verse 11, he was once unprofitable to you, but now he is profitable to you and to me. And what Paul is doing is using a clever wordplay at this point here. The name Onesimus means useful or profitable. And what Paul is saying, he's playing in that name, saying, you know, this man that means useful was once unuseful to you, but now he's useful to both you and to me. Things have changed. Useful became unuseful, and now he's useful again. So put him to use, basically. If somebody can be used, they should be used for kingdom purposes. And we see, why has he changed? Why has he become unuseful to being useful once more? And it was because he had met Jesus, come under the gospel message, and had become born again. He was not the same person as when he left the household back in Colossae here. As the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed, and behold, all things have become new. So that's what has happened. Onesimus has become a new creation, a new creature, because he's came to faith. He's been born again. And he has finally fulfilled his name. His name means useful or profitable. And through his relationship with Jesus, he has came to fulfill what his name actually means. He can fulfill his calling in life because he knows Jesus. And that's the same for us. God gives us all talents and gifts that we need to use for him. And he can make us useful when we are in a relationship with him as well. And we see that whole gospel principle that God can take the most useless person, like myself, and do something with them. God can use anyone, and we should never, ever write any single person off until God has got a hold of them. We can see that he can do miraculous things with individuals. So Onesimus had sinned, but he'd also changed. And he was once useless, but he was now useful to both Philemon and to Paul and for God in building his kingdom as well. So when we come across people, we should always keep that in mind, that once God gets a hold of somebody, he can do something wonderful with them. But do we give people that chance? Or do we look at somebody and think, nah, you're a down and out. God can do nothing with you. If you're a down and out, I'm not even going to speak to you, and they become high and mighty. I know I can do it sometimes. You look at people and you can make that judgment call by looking at their surface. I can be guilty of that as much as anyone else. But we see here with Onesimus, we should never make that judgment call in somebody's life, because God can do great things with them. So if you're sitting here thinking, God can do nothing with me, I've got no gifts, I've got no talents, I've got nothing I can offer, give yourself to God, and he can make you useful. He can do something great with you. So as Onesimus would seek forgiveness and restoration from his master, we do the same in our relationship with God. That's why we're sitting here. We were a runaway. We were somebody who was sitting guilty of our sins, but Jesus stepped in, and a Paul-like person shared the gospel with us, and we responded and asked for forgiveness. God made us useful to the master through our relationship with Jesus. And what Paul is wanting Philemon to understand here is, this man has changed. Look at him as being a new person. Don't hold all the past against him. That is gone. It's been washed away. It's been covered by Jesus. Take him as a new person and use him in your church. But sometimes it can be hard to look past all the past mistakes that somebody has committed against us or against other people. But again, people change. Will we understand that and give them the chance and give them the benefit of the doubt? People need to be given the opportunity to show the change in their life as well. As soon as somebody becomes born again, after 1 week, they're not going to be like 100% changed in their life, the same as we are works in progress as well. I'm not the best Christian out there. I'm sure that's a great surprise to you guys. I'm a work in progress, so are you, and so will new converts be as well. But over a period of time, we should see changes in their life, and their life starts to become given over to God, and they're doing things for the kingdom of God. But again, give people the opportunity and the chance and the time to show that in their lives. So Onesimus, his name means profitable, and he became profitable and useful to God and to Paul. But again, if we look at the name Philemon, it actually means affectionate or loving. So Onesimus was now living up to his name, and Paul's saying, that's good, he's sorted, but Philemon, what about you? How are you going to deal with this runaway slave that you own? Are you going to be affectionate and loving to him, or are you going to punish him by the law and forget the grace and the love of Jesus in his life? So both men have to live up to their names. In verse 12, Paul says, I am sending him back, therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed may not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. So Onesimus has been sent back to the church in Colossae with this letter from Paul. So the slave is going to be standing before Paul with this letter, and he's going to be reading it, the words of Paul, into this situation. So it's going to be quite a difficult situation both men are facing here. And Paul is saying, regard this man, Onesimus, that ran away from you, regard him as me. I'm sending him with my heart. I've got such a love and affection for this new convert. Receive him the same as you would receive me. And I think that would speak volumes to Philemon in this situation, that he's been sent with the full backing of the Apostle Paul here. So Paul could have retained Onesimus to serve with him as he wanted from the verses here, but that would not be with Philemon's permission. It had to be with the permission of Philemon that Onesimus could stay with Paul and minister with him. But in any case, Paul knows that he has to send the slave back to his master, because the law had still to be met. You know, the slave was still united to his master at this point. And the slave had done wrong, Onesimus had done wrong in a situation, and he had to make the wrong situation right. You know, he became a believer, but it didn't mean that everything he'd done in the past was wiped away and forgotten about. Some earthly situations he still had to deal with in this place here. And what we see here is faith in Jesus. Coming to faith does not remove our responsibilities or our accountabilities. We need to be careful when we're sharing our faith with people that they understand that as well. Coming to Jesus doesn't mean you're going to have this wonderful life, that nothing ever goes wrong, you don't need to make any wrong situation better. You don't need to go back and ask for forgiveness or deal with things in the past. We've got the verse in I can't remember where it is now. As far as the east is from the west, so far as they remove our transgressions from us. Your penalty from sin has been removed, but sometimes the circumstances of our sin still need to be dealt with. And that is what Paul is helping this new convert understand. You came to faith, fantastic, you're a brother in Christ, but we now need to make some of the past situations right. You need to go back and try and find forgiveness and restoration in these circumstances. And the fact is, when we become born again, when we become a believer in Jesus, we're actually more accountable to deal with our past situations, because we know the love of Jesus and we know what forgiveness is, the way to give it and the way to receive it from other people as well. William Barclay put it this way in relation to salvation. He says, it does not help a man to escape the past and run from it. It is to enable a man to face his past and rise above it. And that's really what this aspect of salvation is in the book of Philemon here. Is to face his past and rise above it, to deal with it, put it to bed, sort out the past mistakes that he has made, as much as he can, that is. All sin carries consequences, but sometimes we have to face the consequences to put them to bed as well. We've got to seek to do what is right in the situation. We're still subject to the law, laws of the land, all these kind of things, whether we like it or not. If we speed down one of the Kilduck streets and they get stopped by a police officer, if you say, I'm sorry officer, but I'm a Christian, the police officer will say, oh, that's good, on you go son, that's fine. He's going to say, good for you, you're still getting charged for it. We need to make sure that we abide by the laws of the land. The laws of the land at this time was Onesimus was under the law, under the mastership of Philemon, so he had to go back there, and Paul understood that. And that's what he's doing in this place here. So in verse 15 it says, for perhaps he departed to Raphael for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, and now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So Paul is clearly saying here, you know, it's the providence of God, that God knows all things. He ties together all the threads of life to his master plan. Perhaps he departed for a while that you might receive him back forever. God knows what is going on, and God pulls those threads together to make his bigger picture in all circumstances. It could have been that he ran away from his master to run into the Apostle Paul to be saved and to return, so the men are no longer slave and master, but they're now brother and brother together in faith. John in chapter 8:34 says, well, Jesus says actually, "More assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Onesimus ran away as a slave to sin, and he comes back now as a brother in Christ, a co-heir with Jesus. Things have changed. God had a bigger picture for the life of Onesimus, the same as they can for all of our lives. And for those of us that maybe get people in our families that were once in church and once walking with God, and they're now no longer doing it, they're departing for a while. Perhaps God is using this time to work out his grand master plan and bring them back to himself and back to us as those brother and brother together, brother and sister together. Romans 8:28, I'm sure one of all of our favourite verses. We know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I think that's an aspect of what we're seeing here through the runaway slave Philemon. If he comes back to live with Philemon, he's got to be more than a slave. He's got to have that new relationship with his master. He is left as a rebel, and he returns as a brother, as a new creation. And he's living up to his name, which is amazing. But you know, think about the law versus love. Law versus love. The law would say, Philemon, you can do what you want with your slave. Back in the time, slaves were common commodities. So he could have had his slave punished, imprisoned, or branded with a big F in his forehead for fugitive, forever marked with the sin that he has caused his master, against his master. But what we see is that Philemon, as a believer in Christ, has to deal with a situation differently from all the other slave masters in the area. Because Philemon was a believer in Jesus. He couldn't deal with things the same way as the unbelieving slave masters did. We've got the verse in Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote that, and he also wrote the book of Philemon here. This is the kind of principle that he has shown Philemon. You've got to treat this man as a brother in Christ, not as somebody below you. And what we say is, when we stand at the cross of Jesus, it's level ground. You're not above me, I'm not above you, we're all on an even keel. No matter our social standing, no matter our employment, no matter any status in our lives, in the eyes of Jesus, we're all on a level playing field. And Paul wants Philemon to understand that. And he says in verse 17, so if you count me as a partner, receive him as you would receive me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that in my account. So he asks Philemon to accept Onesimus as if he would accept Paul, the exact same way as he would accept Paul into his life and into his church. If he counted Paul as a partner with him, he needs to receive this man back into his house without punishment. If. So we see here that if he's not going to receive Onesimus back, there's going to be a kind of blockage in relationship between Paul and between Philemon. So Philemon's got the choice whether he's going to agree with the course of action that Paul wants him to take or disagree. And this word partner is actually coming from the word koinonia, you know, that kind of fellowship aspect. So if we're going in different directions, then we can't be in fellowship together. And that's really what Paul is saying here. We should be in the same direction because we're all under the relationship of Jesus. If we don't have the same course of action, then there's a break taking place here. So Paul says, receive him as you would receive me. That's what he's appealing to Philemon to do. And he says in verse 18, if Onesimus owes Philemon anything, whether it's money, goods, whatever, then put it in the account of Paul. Any debt that Onesimus has caused Philemon is to be wiped out and given to Paul in his place. So charge it by my account. And this offer could have a big cost to the Apostle Paul. A slave would maybe be around 500 denarius. Back in the day, one denarius would be a one day's wage. If it was a skilled slave, it might be anything up to 100 times as much. So financially, it's a big cost to the Apostle Paul. And what we see is in relationships, any relationship, there's a cost to a relationship. To Paul, the cost might be in paying back what was owed to Philemon. Paul is committed to doing that. To Philemon, there would be the cost of the lost labour, because his slave ran away and maybe had to employ somebody else to do the work there. To Philemon, if he forgave, the cost would be to his reputation, forgiving and restoring his slave. And to Onesimus, the cost would be to return, to come under his master once again. To Onesimus, the pride in having to go back and ask forgiveness from that person. To Onesimus, to wrong a situation, not to right a situation that he made wrong, would be a cost to him. But what we see is to hold on to unforgiveness can cost a great deal more than these things. It hurts our soul, it hurts our spirit, and it hurts our fellowship as well. And it eats away at us. And we looked at that the last time. It's that bitterness, that unforgiveness, just eats away at us, and it really affects our walk with the Lord. Because of the love that Paul had for both men, he is the mediator in between. That's never an easy position to have. If you're ever standing in between two people in a fight, then you might get a wee bop in the nose as well. He's in a precarious position here. Philemon could get back his servant, not just as a slave, but also as a brother in Christ. He can gain from this situation here. And Paul is an intercession for Onesimus. Paul is standing in the gap for this new convert, acting in the same way as Jesus does for us, that Jesus stands in that gap and intercedes for us also. And we see that strong shadow of Jesus in the situation here. Now, obviously, as I said, we're like Philemon. We run away from God, but we come to God, we give our confession, we ask for forgiveness, and Jesus is that intercessor. He stands in the middle between God the Father and between Satan the accuser, and he defends us and he justifies us. And just like the Apostle Paul says, Jesus puts all our sin on his account as well. He restores us to usefulness and he justifies us in the situation. So Paul says in verse 19, he is writing with his own hand, he will repay, not to mention all that you owe, even with your own self beside. Verse 20, yes, my brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. So it reminds Philemon that he has a debt. Philemon also has a debt, not just the slave that had ran away. The debt that Philemon owes is his salvation, because the Apostle Paul shared the gospel with him. Philemon owes a debt to Paul the same as Onesimus owes a debt to Philemon. If Paul deals with this matter in the way that Paul believes it should be dealt with, by forgiving Onesimus and restoring him back to the house church and back to his household, he's saying that Paul himself will benefit spiritually from that situation. That Paul being the intercessor, Paul being this kind of mentor, this man that's sharing faith with people, when he sees people being restored with somebody that they've now been departed from, when there's been animosity, it brings a refreshment to his soul. That he is looking for that, that the wider people in a situation can be benefited when restitution and restoration takes place. When we make the right decisions out of a heart of love and out of the obedience to the gospel principles, then we can be a blessing to other people as well. We can be blessed when we forgive. We can be blessed when we ask for forgiveness. But not just us, all those round about us can be blessed also. And this act of forgiveness would speak volumes, both to the two men that are involved in this situation, but also the wider church. Remember, this letter was written to the church in Colossae, not just to Philemon himself. And whatever the choice that Philemon makes, everyone else is watching. The house church that he is a leader in is watching to see, how are you going to deal with this, Philemon? Are you going to forgive? Are you going to hold it against the slave that returns? What is your decision going to be? But also, all the slave owners in Colossae at the time, they would have a network with each other. Why, how are you dealing with your slave that ran away and stole from you? So if Philemon says, I'm forgiving him, bring him back to my household, he's actually going to be an equal with me and not somebody below me, that would speak volumes in the situation as well. When people ask, why are you doing that? Because I follow Jesus. He's a brother in Christ, the same as I am. And that would spread the gospel message round about that area in a very, very strong way. So the potential for good is massive in the situation here, but it's still not an easy situation to navigate. And they have to navigate this situation very carefully. And we see the Apostle Paul has navigated the situation very carefully, right from the start of the letter, right through to the end. He makes no bold commands, but he lays the steady groundwork and the steady foundations through to the conclusion. What difference does our choices make in our daily lives when we have a situation with somebody, or a situation at work, or a situation in our family? How we react can really affect a situation. What choices do we make? Do we put love at the centre, or do we look at other things? The potential for us to show God's love is great, the same as it was for Philemon here. And the Apostle Paul in verse 21 says he's got confidence that he's going to do the right thing. He's got confidence that Philemon will make the right decision. And he asks in verse 22, prepare a place for me, and I hope to come and be with you. Prepare a place for me. You see, I'm not commanding you to forgive this guy, but I'm appealing to you out of love. And I know that you're going to do it because I know you. I know your character. I know you will do it the right thing. And prepare a place for me. Prepare a guest room that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. That's not a manipulative move. He's not saying, I'm coming to you and I'm going to see that you've done what I wanted, because that doesn't fit in with the letter at all. But more of, I think it's a case of, I know you're going to do the right thing, that you two men are going to be restored, and I want to witness it because I know it's going to make me so happy. I want to be celebrating in the midst of both you men when you both come together and you put everything to bed and you're brother and brother together working for the gospel together. We see here that careful application of godly wisdom from the Apostle Paul. And at the end, Paul himself is going to benefit because both men are going to be reunited. They're going to be working for the kingdom of God, and Paul can rejoice with them. So, at the end, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, somebody else, Demas, Luke, and my fellow labourers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. Amen. So, at the end of the letter, five other people are mentioned. Paul has shown here that the body of Christ is a community. It's lots of people together. He shows and he names the wider team who are watching, who are shouting on, who are wanting the best outcome in the situation here. And he knows that whatever Philemon's going to do is going to affect all these other people round about him as well. They're in fellowship together. They're partners for the gospel together. They're all working for the same goal together. So if Philemon makes a wrong decision, then there's a bit of a skirmish going to take place there. And we see that Philemon has to forgive, but it's not going to be easy, the same as it's never easy to forgive somebody. And Paul is trying to broker that reconciliation process, and that's never easy either. But he's saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace that God gives would be sufficient to allow Philemon to forgive Onesimus. The grace that God gives would allow Onesimus to put his pride down and go to his master and ask for forgiveness and to bring restoration in that circumstance there. And through it all, everyone's sin has been charged to the Lord Jesus' account. All their past sins, all their hurts are charged to Jesus' account. What we see in Philemon is the gospel is a message of second chances, of restoration. So whether we're identifying with Philemon, mainly through the message here, by being wronged, whether we're identifying with Onesimus, whether we're asking for reconciliation over a past mistake that we've made, or whether we are identifying with Paul, standing interceding in the middle of two people that are kind of having an argument or a disagreement, God's grace is available in all three of those circumstances there for us to make the correct response and the correct action in the circumstance. Could the Apostle Paul say the same about us as he said about Philemon? I have confidence in you to do the right thing. And that's what we need to look into our own hearts and our own spirits and say, either a yes, or a maybe, or a no, and seek the Lord in our own hearts. John 8:35-36 says, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. As we sit as freed people this morning, having our faith in Jesus Christ, show that freedom and that grace and that mercy to other people. If we've wronged somebody, seek to make it right. If somebody's wronged us, freely forgive them. If there's a battle going on in your family or a circumstance, try and be the gospel, the mediator in between to bring the gospel into the situation. A short letter, the gospel's never mentioned once because it doesn't have to be, because it's the gospel on legs. It's how the gospel is actually walked out in daily life that we're seeing from Philemon. So it's a challenge for me, by golly, and I'm sure it's a challenge for those guys as well. Closing a word of prayer.